The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
So thank you, Brother Luke. If you turn in your Bibles for the remaining time this morning to Proverbs 25 and 13, I've been speaking for a number of weeks on the how-tos in the Scripture. I won't go back over all the ones that we've looked at, but today I felt burdened on speaking about how to handle social media. And those of you that are not on social media, praise God for you. Praise God. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. And if you're wondering if there's anything in the Bible about social media, let me just read you these few verses that I have taken just a slight bit of liberty with as we consider what we're talking about this morning. But I'm not going to make you turn to these. I'll be happy to give them to you later. But I have taken a little bit of liberty with these social media verses from the Bible. Ephesians 5 and 4. Neither post obscenities, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Psalms 52 and 2. Thy blogs deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Psalms 73 and 8 and 9. Their Facebook posts are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their Twitter feed against the heavens, and their Tumblr walketh through the earth. Did y'all know that was in the Bible? Matthew 12 and 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart blogs forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure posts evil things. But I say unto you that every idle tweet that men shall post, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Y'all got the same Bible as I do. Matthew 12 and 37, for by thy Snapchatting thou shalt be justified, and by thy Instagramming thou shalt be condemned. I like this one, Romans 3 and 13. Their Twitterverse is an open sepulcher. With their posts they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose vloggings, yeah, I said vloggings, not bloggings. That's another form of social media, by the way. Whose vloggings are full of cursing and bitterness. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, evil tweepies corrupt good manners. Yes, that's a term. Colossians 4 and 6. Let your Instagramming be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to post online. Now, I like this one in Jude. These are bloggers, murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their Twitter feed speaketh great swelling words, having men's person and admiration because of advantage. And did you know this was in the book of Revelation? And there was given unto him a Twitter feed to speak great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him. And he hashtagged in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. I know I take a little bit of liberty here this morning, but terms like blog, chat, Facebook, which has 1.49 billion followers, by the way, Google, hashtag, Instagram, Flickr, Tumblr, Twitter, Tweepy, Twitterverse, Foursquare, LinkedIn, Snapchat, vlogging, and the old standby email. These are all terms of social media, texting, of course, some that I have probably not covered and left out. In the original post of all time. Did you know there was a first original post of all time? And it was on May 24th of 1844 when Samuel Morse sent what was thought to be the first telegram. Anybody know what that is? This is what he sent. What hath God wrought? That was the first post on social media of any kind whatsoever. It was the first telegram. Now, as we consider this morning, some of you may say, well, I'm not on it, praise God, and condemn everybody that is. I don't have any stretch of the imagination to think that my message to you here this morning would take you off of social media. I'm not that. I don't believe I have that good enough of ability to speak to you. But I will tell you this. There can come a point in someone's life where that is exactly what they need. If they associate their identity with social media, if you think that is your identity, then that is an absolute that someone should withdraw themselves from that. I remember the first time I started doing a little bit of posting on Facebook, I thought, this is neat. I mean, this is really something. And then I remember the first time, you know, somebody misunderstood what I posted. And I was having to explain myself. No, I didn't mean it that way. That wasn't the insinuation that I was making. I remember a few years ago, you know, communication is important. It doesn't matter if you're on the social media or what. But communication is important. A few years ago, I was at the house and Chris's family was down at Disney World. And I was walking. I remember exactly where I was in the house. And the phone rang and it was Chris. And he spoke to me in a trembling voice. And this is the phrase that he said to me. He said, Tim, we lost Ashley. And I have never fainted in my life. I don't guess I ever will. But I did swoon. And I fell to the ground and tossed the phone to Tracy as I was going to the ground. Because what do you think when somebody tells you something? We lost someone. Note to self, all of you, note, make a note right now. Don't ever call the preacher and tell him that you lost someone. You could say, we misplaced Ashley, right? But when you tell the preacher that you lost someone, he's going to immediately think that somebody died because that's the world that he lives in. Chris said, we lost Ashley, and I just lost it, man. I fell out. I thought, oh, my Lord. I started praying for them. And then Tracy's going, what, huh, yeah? And she's okay. And I'm like, what? Oh, I had a few choice things to say to my brother when I saw him the next time. Work on your communication, man. Come on. I could give you several others that are like that, but communication is important. And in this day and time of social media, which I am on myself, you got to remember that it's important. And there's three basic categories I want to talk to you about this morning on how to handle social media. And if those of you that are not on social media, don't go to sleep, because these verses are coming right from the Word of God. They have to do with how you interact and communicate with people. So it can apply. I'm applying it this morning to social media, but it can be applied to what you say or write to people in any format. First of all, we want to talk about sending and receiving and viewing. Those are the three things. It won't take us long this morning to talk about that. But in general, you have to recognize this. From the days of Samuel Morse, when the first telegram was sent, where he said, you know, what hath God wrought, down to this very day, that was the beginning of all of this messaging and all of this posting. It has come a long ways. There's an old saying, we've come a long way, baby. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable, is it not? Where you can get the thoughts of the President of the United States if you follow his Twitter feed in a matter of seconds. That's incredible. Or any other person that you want to fill in the blank, some celebrity, some popular person, some other politician. It's amazing how you can get that almost instantly. And I'm going to say this. These tools that we are, the social media and the potential usefulness of social media that could have been used primarily and only to glorify God and is in certain circumstances. You know, we have a podcast. You know, we've talked about Grace Network that's going 24/7. It's going around the world preaching the truth. There are some good uses, some primary glorifying to God uses. But I think we could all agree that the majority of what the social media is used for is not that useful. And again, I don't presume to say, well, you're going to go home and get off. But if you recognize today that you're one of those alcoholics, because it's no different than a person being addicted to alcohol. It's no different than a person being addicted to meth. It's no different. I can tell you, I got the science to prove it. It's an addiction. And if you recognize that you're that person that is addicted, I pray to God that this message will convict you and you'll go home and cut it off. Because your identity is not tied to social media. Your identity is tied to what Jesus said about you, that you are salt and light, and you are His child. That's where your identity is. Now, communication is important. Let's first talk about sending communication. Proverbs 25 and 13. Listen to this, and I've taken a little bit of liberty here. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a Facebook post to him that posts it, for he refreshes the soul of the sender. You can read what it actually says. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. This is someone who sends a message. This is someone who posts a message. And I want you to know that this principle applies to how to handle social media. First of all, notice what he says. The cold of snow, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. My children live, my younger children especially, the younger girls live for those ices down in Gordo. Some of you, I know for a fact, have kept them in business. Daddy, can we go and get an icy? Daddy, can we go and get an icy? Daddy, we can go and get an icy. I mean, it is just one. They love those ices. Now, I will admit I love them too. They're good. I love them. Put a little bit of that marshmallow sauce in there. Fantastic. But can you imagine if you were out there picking cotton, or you were harvesting wheat, or you were plucking corn, or by hand now. I'm not talking about on the combine. You were out there plucking this by, and it's hot, it's in harvest, and somebody walked up and handed you one of Chuck Tant's ices. Here, refresh yourself. That would be incredible, wouldn't it? It might make you worthless. You'd just sit there and eat on it until it was gone. But that's what this is talking about. And it was pointing to a custom that was, it was a lot of snow in the Middle East in these days. And of course, there is nowadays too. But what they would do is they would take snow from the middle of winter and they would store it in underground caves and caverns, and it would last. They would build up enough snow. And in the harvest times, they would go and pull out the snow, maybe put a little sugar in it. You ever heard of snow ice cream? And they'd take it to the harvesters. Don't you know in the time of 105, 110 degree heat that those harvesters worked harder after they got a little bit of snow icy to them? As a matter of fact, some of you may have been to Monticello. I've been there and toured the grounds where President Jefferson had his home. And there is a deep cistern on the grounds of Monticello that's down in the ground. And that's where they used to store ice. And they would store these huge blocks of ice. And that ice would be available year-round because it was down deep and it was in the cool of the ground. That's what this is a reference to. You say, what in the world does this have to do with sending a message? It has everything to do with sending a message, because a faithful message that you post, it means to foster as a parent or a nurse would foster a child, to support, to uphold, to nourish, to assure. And if any message that you post is not refreshing or nourishing or assuring, it should not be sent. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, that is the guide for the child of God posting on social media. If it cannot nourish, if it cannot assure, if it cannot refresh, it should not be posting. I meant to mention a couple of disclaimers about social media. Social media is not the place, it's not the place for anyone, but much less the child of God, to vent their frustrations. You say, Brother Tim, this is just silly to even say that. It's not silly, because it's right, and it's from the Word of God. Everybody vents their frustrations on social media. From the smallest little detail of the community that somebody didn't like, did you see how this went? And they post their frustration on social media. And this says that if it's not refreshing and it's not nourishing and it's not assuring, it should not be sent. And somebody might would say, yeah, but I got this little private group, you know, 20, 30 followers. Same thing applies there. Same thing applies there. It's not a place to vent. That goes against the grain of politics, of everything, does it not? Because everybody's venting out there. I tell you, there's a better way to deal with it. First of all, if it doesn't reassure or support or uphold or nourish, don't send it. And second of all, if somebody has an issue with someone, God has already provided a way to deal with that, and it's not social media. It's a private one-on-one interaction with one another where you express your grievance to that person. I've seen it work. I've been involved in it working. I've done it myself. And it enriches the relationship between those two people. Like, it's unbelievable. You say, well, that's for friends, right? It's for husbands and wives, parents and children, friends, whatever it may be. But it's not to be done on social media. It accomplishes nothing. So a faithful message that is supportive, upholding, and nourishing, and assuring, it is one that refreshes, you see? And notice what it says. How do we know this is talking about one who sins? Because it says it refreshes the soul of his master. I have received messages, maybe about our podcast. You know, I've related that to you. I always want to relate that to you, because it's you where the messages are preached here. It's you that supports the radio ministry. And when somebody tells me, we're over here in Kansas, or we're over here, I even got one from New Jersey. We're listening to your podcast. We're listening to Brother Neil, Brother Luke. It is so encouraging to hear that. I want to share that with you. It's refreshing. There's been a time or two when I've got one that wasn't very nice that said, I didn't agree with what you preached, or I didn't like this or that. I don't share those with you. I don't pass them along, and I don't post them on the internet, see? Because there's no profit in it. I just deal with that between me and the Lord and the person who sent them. This making sense? I hope so. Proverbs 26 and 6, just a page over in the book of Proverbs, it says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. You know, I bet you didn't know that modern lingo was in the Bible. You know how people say, well, that's so lame. That's something we hear regularly. That's just lame, right? That means somebody can't walk. That's what that says right there. It says, he that sends a message by the hand of a fool is lame. That is so lame. Have you ever been looking on the internet and you said, man, that's lame. I can't believe that they posted that. I tell you one thing that's lame in my own personal life is autocorrect. I have sent some lame messages because of my autocorrect or my dictation doesn't understand what I'm saying because I'm from the South. I have to go, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say, you know, I didn't mean to say birth instead of brother, or even worse than that, something that I can't even say. I'm like, where did that come from? Autocorrect and dictation can be lame. Now, let's talk about receiving. Proverbs 25 and 25. Notice the difference in this verse, okay? This is about one who receives a message. Proverbs 25 and 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul. Remember, the first was as the cold of snow refreshes the harvesters, so the good message refreshes the person that sends the message. Well, here, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Here is the receiver of the message. And it's like cold waters. The word cold waters, it means cool, calm, collected. It means to chill. I've told you before about that one. We've got 8 or 10 wells on the farm, on McCool Farm. And I've told you about that one well before back there behind my grandmother's house. That's where Chris and I always went because it was the deepest, it was the coldest, it had the best taste. That is the well that was refreshing to us. And it says here, in the way that something like that refreshes you, that's the way good news is. Have you ever clicked on somebody's Instagram or Snapchat or fill in the blank, you know, Twitter feed or whatever, and you saw something posted there and it just took your heart out to the bottom of your feet? I can't believe they would say that. And even worse, I can't believe they'd put a picture up there like that. Y'all ever done that? Am I the only weirdo in the crowd? I'm not saying you're weird, but I am for sure. It just takes your heart out. It just rips your heart out. You think, surely they know better than that. I'm not just talking about young people. You know, surely that adult knows better than that. You see, if it's not something that's refreshing, something that is like cold waters to a thirsty soul, then it should not be reviewed or even looked at. There's been a few times I just would ignore it. I'd just say, eh, and I wouldn't come back to it later. I'm just not even going to look at it. I know it's going to upset me. Did you know that whatever you put on there, especially on social media, it is for good? You say, well, I can take it down. There's this weird thing, this cloud out there, and everything is stored on that cloud. Somebody says, yeah, but not Snapchat. No, Snapchat disappears. Nobody ever sees it. Wrong. I've done the research. It's in the cloud. And somebody's going to pull it off one day, and it's going to come up somewhere. You delete it, and it will never come up again. And here's 40 years later, and it's on the web again. And you're like, no, that's not me. That's not me. It is you. And you thought it wouldn't be there. You see how embarrassing that would be? I submit to you, whatever age you may be, if you post, somebody posts provocative or inappropriate, corrupt images, that's what Ephesians says it is. They, as a child of God, who's tendered by the Spirit of God, they will regret it. One of your children, if you're young, one of your children will come across it one day and say, Mom, Dad, I can't believe you did this. And you can't say, well, it wasn't me. No, you're going to have to own up to it and say, it was me. I was a complete fool. I don't know what I was thinking. I hope that's your answer instead of saying, no, it's good, do it. Go on. Go, Junior, do it yourself. That's a hard-hearted person right there. I am so glad that social media was not around when Brother Tim was in his teens. I shudder to think about the things that I might have posted or I might have put on there. But again, I'm not just limiting this to the young people. But it is something that particularly vexes our young people, is it not? Because it's a new thing. You know, Facebook was only started in 2004 by Mark Zuckerberg. It's only 2004. That's not that long ago. Sending, receiving. What about viewing? Psalms 101 speaks to viewing. Psalms 101. This is one of my favorite verses, and I always think about this verse whenever I watch TV. And I think, sometimes this verse just kind of whispers in my ear when I watch. Maybe something comes on that I know I probably don't need to watch, but I let it play anyway. Psalms 101, he says in verse 3, this is David, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I tell you, that television or that social media or that computer or that tablet or that iPad or whatever, the handheld phone device, that is a verse of scripture that should constantly whisper in our ears, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. It might be an inappropriate image. It might be an inappropriate text. It might be somebody just railing or just running somebody down on the internet. Let me tell you as we close, these are the kind of messages that God is into. Remember what we said, sending, if it's not refreshing, assuring, encouraging, don't send it. Don't vent, don't post it just to post it for no reason. Receiving, as cold waters to a thirsty soul refreshes one who is thirsty, that's the way the message ought to be. Viewing, we shouldn't even look at it. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I understand it takes effort and the grace of God to do that. Because sometimes things just pop up, don't they? But the real messaging of God, the Lord said, behold, I will send my messenger. And it's not a textbook, Facebook, texting messenger, instant messenger. It was John the Baptist was God's messenger to pave the way for Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, he did not send someone by message. He came himself to interact. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says the Lord has given gifts unto men. And the gifts of the ministry, the one-on-one preaching of the gospel, the prayers that you pray up to the Lord, those are direct messaging to God. You don't send God a text. You don't send him an instant messenger. You don't send him a LinkedIn. You don't Twitter to God. You just pray to God directly to him. You see, that's glorious. And if you're spending too much time on the Twitterverse, if you're spending too much time on that, maybe it's time to shut it down, turn it off, and communicate by message directly to God. Several years ago, y'all remember when Abigail had her surgery up in Birmingham on her knee. She had that staph infection. We had just come back from a trip, and we went to the doctor on that Saturday night, and the doctor sent us home, which was not a good thing. And so Tracy took her back to the doctor in Birmingham on Monday, Children's Hospital. And this is a side note, side lesson. Don't ever put your deadlines off. I had a deadline that day that I had to file something that had to be filed by 5 o'clock on that day. And I said, I'm going to do it when I get back. I'll put it off till then. So I had been working all day on that, getting that filing in that had to be in that day. That was the last day. And Tracy called about 10:30, 11 o'clock. She said, we're going into surgery. And I said, oh, my goodness. She said, Abigail wants you here. I didn't eat. I didn't stop working. I had to get that in. I kept going as fast as I can. It was horrible. I probably lost. I can't even remember whatever it was. But when I got that thing filed at about 1:30, I got in my car because there was a little girl up in Birmingham who wanted to see her daddy. She didn't want a LinkedIn. She didn't want a FaceTime. She didn't want a text message. She didn't want a tweet. She wanted to see my face. And I won't stand here and tell you how fast I got up there. It was unbelievable. Praying the whole way, Lord, spare me. Lord, save me. I'm ashamed of how fast I drove to get up there. And I got there 7 minutes before she went into surgery. I walked in that room and tears began to pour out her eyes. And tears began to pour out my eyes. And I put my forehead up against her forehead. And we just bawled there together. Let me tell you something. There is nothing that will take the place of one-on-one messaging. You think you got a lot of friends out there on social media. You find out who your friends really are when things happen in your life. And that real friend is at your door. They didn't send you a text. It's fine to send the text and say, I'm praying for you. I'm not saying don't do it. But the real comfort that you're going to get is from the presence of that person. Right, Abigail? I only got to see her about 5 minutes, but it was enough. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, you know what it says when the Lord comes back? It says the Lord will Twitter to you that he's on the way. Is that what it says? The Lord will tweet it. The Lord will text it. The Lord will email it. The Lord will send you a LinkedIn message. The Lord will Facebook post. It's time. I'm coming. I'm here. It says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. You won't have an intermediary. You won't have a mediator. It will be the Lord himself. And you will behold him with your own glorified eyes. And there will be no doubt that this is him. That's the way the Lord handles his messaging. May we hearken to the instruction from the Word of God on how we send and post, how we receive those things that are sent. and how we view those things. If there's one or more here that would like to follow the Lord in New Testament baptism, we give you that opportunity as we stand and sing.